Sunday, June the 29th.
Welcome to this Burlington Audio Podcast. We hope you will be encouraged and inspired in your faith as you listen to this message. We'd love to hear what you think. Please be in touch with us through the website. More information and many more podcasts are all at burlingtonbaptist.org.uk. Thanks for listening.
We are a couple of weeks into our overflowing life, and before I dive in, Alan referred very briefly to a walk that Liam's doing for Reap for Freedom with Nathan and others this week as a fundraiser. It's been on the last three Connect emails, so if you want more information about that, go to your Connect email. One came out at 5 o'clock on Friday, so have a little look on there and you can find all the information you need about that, or do see Liam. He would love to chat with you about what he's doing there and pray for him. I'm hoping that it might rain a bit more, Liam. It's a bit hot. I don't think I'd want to walk that far. So do talk to him then. Now, I have something for us to talk about at the beginning of our talk that my teacher, who taught me to preach at Bible college, would be really proud of. It's an amazing opening question that my youth work is proud of, my preaching training is proud of, and I'm hoping you will enjoy. Nervous giggle in the room. Nervous giggle in the room. You see, I've done a lot of talking already today, so I think it's your turn. What everyday item would you describe yourself as? Now, I've thought really hard about this week. I've decided that I'm probably something like a spatula. Because I'm quite useful, but not in every circumstance. I'm really bad at plumbing, I've discovered this week in the church kitchen. William's laughing because he knows he was there. I'm really good at other things though, but only in certain moments. So I'm a spatula, what are you? Oh, you have 3 minutes with the neighbour next to you to come up with your everyday item that you would be. As I say, I'm proud of myself for this question, so I'm hoping you're engaged. Come on, go with it. Everyone, one more minute. There was raucous giggle from over this side, so I think we need to hear a few things. Someone tell me, what would you be if you were an everyday item? Steve, come on. Steve's got a good one.
I don't know why I thought of this, but I thought of spade.
You're going to be a spade?
Yeah, because I normally dig myself into trouble. And then...
Brilliant. We can dig you out of trouble as well. Oh, Sarah's got one.
I think I'm a sprinkler because I'm quite helpful. It can be quite fun, but I'm really annoying if you don't want me around.
Sprinkler. Okay, Julie's in. I mean, this is going better than I anticipated, yeah. Friends.
I just thought I'm a bit like a colander.
Colander?
Because information goes in and just leaks out the bottom.
Brilliant. Come on, someone over this side. Anyone got a good one? Andy's got a good one. It's lovely, like being landed in. Isn't
it? Is it my serious one or my funny one?
Yeah, well,
both. I was saying that I'm in Lucas's WhatsApp phone book as the tree stump because I'm very short and wide. And he's called Shiloh Failed Prototype. But what I actually said was I'm a wall planner because I live my life by the calendar and my to-do list as well.
Ooh, wall planner. I need some wall planners in my life. Okay, anyone else desperate to share? Oh, Chris has got one brilliant.
I'd like to think of myself as a jug.
A jug?
I'd love to get filled, and hopefully I try and pour out.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, that's a bit fitting, Chris, isn't it? I'd love you to continue that conversation whilst you say goodbye to me, because I love hearing about these things. But Paul, in this letter, begins this passage by telling us about one of these. Now, Carl, you know who Carl is? He came into membership on Easter Sunday, made this for us, for our prayer room. And it's beautiful. He's not here today because he's got an exhibition at Freston Church, if anyone wants to go there today, 10 till 4. You've already missed a couple of hours. We're really having fun with my hair, maybe? Should we try again? I do feel a little bit like the humidity's getting to me. This fluffing hairband. Is it all right? Okay. This is a jar of clay. It is very fragile, which is why I didn't get it out before the children left. Because we would find out what happens to a jar of clay that is a little bit frail and fragile. We have just heard so beautifully Abby read us these words, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. Now, I don't know how well you can see this, but on the inside, it's gold. How did he do that? Somebody, anybody who's a potter. It's gold on the inside, and he's put fairy lights inside as well, so when you turn those on, it's even more glowy and gold, because that's what this passage is about. I don't know about you, but I often feel a bit frail and fragile. I often feel a little bit like I could smash at any point. I often feel like life is getting a bit too much. Sometimes, though, I also feel really ordinary. If you read anything about the culture that the 2 Corinthians letter was written to, they used jars exactly like this for all kinds of things. Metal was nowhere near as available or developed in the way that we know it. And so most of the everyday items they used would have been made out of clay. And also, they were not just everyday, but they were able to be get rid of and reused in all kinds of ways as well. And apparently relatively easily mended, but I'm not going to prove that point today by dropping this. It was an everyday object. And I sometimes feel quite everyday. Like there's not much special about me. I feel frail and fragile, like I've got nothing to give. Because I'm just Claire. And apparently there are 3 of them who speak. At least, I had 6 Claires in my primary school class, so I feel like I'm back there right now. 6 Claires, and we all had different spellings, which was probably useful for the teacher. There were only 100 natives in the whole school, so, I mean, you know, interesting. Paul describes the people of God as a frail, everyday, fragile object. Am I the only one who can relate to that? Oh, good. Okay, we're amongst friends. We can carry on. Paul puts it like this. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, perplexed, persecuted, abandoned. Wow. Anyone felt like any of those this week? I felt fairly hard-pressed on every side this week at points. Mostly to do with my children's social life, but we'll talk about that another day. Paul here is reminding the Corinthian church that actually, just because you feel like that, frail, fragile, perplexed, crushed, hard-pressed on every side, we do not have to live like that. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. That's good news. We are perplexed, but not in despair. That's good news. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. That's good news. We are struck down, but not destroyed. That's really, really good news. Because we might feel like we have had a battering. But we are not people without hope. The opening worship captured so much of the truth of what this passage is about. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Wow, that's a statement. That's a statement. What this gold inside this pot reminds us is that, yes, life might feel hard, overwhelming, crushing, whatever you want to say, hard-pressing. But we have something inside of us that no hardship, no sickness, no sadness, and not even death can take away from us. I think that's good news. If anyone else wants to say yes, I'd love some. Thank you. That's good news to me. And God has poured gold into each of you. Inside of you, if I was to cut you open, which I'm also not planning today because that's messy, we would find gold. We would find hope. We would find joy. We would find salvation because we have put our trust in God. Now let's think a little bit for a moment about the word hope. The word hope has been misused, I think, in the English language quite well. I hope you get better soon. Fingers crossed. I wonder if we've said anything like, I hope the chemotherapy can help your cancer. I hope. It feels like something we say very, very easily. It communicates this fingers crossed uncertainty that we're kind of living by. But biblical hope is so far removed from that. And that's what this quote says. The New Testament word hope communicates no such fingers crossed uncertainty. Instead, the word describes an enduring, settled confidence in the promises of God, whilst we still await the ultimate fulfillment of these promises. An enduring and settled confidence. I'd like to live like that. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? That's what the gold is inside this pot. It is an enduring, something that's going to endure even the hard-pressed moments, and settled, so I'm not confused, I'm not living in an unsettled, uncertain way. Faith and hope in the promises of God. And then it goes on to say, whilst we await the ultimate fulfillment of these promises. It isn't that fingers crossed, I'm sure it'll be fine. It's a settled confidence that we know it's not always going to be like this. That we have a hope that goes into eternity. And God has given us a picture of what that could be. So I'm feeling pretty challenged. We're only on my second slide. Are you ready for more? Yes, Claire, we're ready for more. Good, okay. So this passage gives us a glimpse, I think, of what this hope is. And I'd like you to think, as I'm sharing the next 5 points, which word of hope do you need to know today? Now, you might go, all of them. I need all of them. But I suspect there is one that rings a little bit true. Perhaps a little bit truer because of the week that you have had. The first one is that we have a hope that God is going to sustain us. Verses 8 and 16. You see, we are spiritual beings and we are being renewed every single day. We don't have to live defeated, for we are not. We live with the sustaining and strengthening power of God. You might not feel like that at the moment. You might not feel like your insides are gold. I don't often. But that's not the point of hope. The point of hope is knowing that we have a God who sustains us, that we might be hard-pressed on every side, but we're not going to be crushed. We have a God who is with us in the pit, not just when we've managed to get out of it. We have a God who sits with us and loves us and provides others to sit in that pit with us, even though we don't always feel it. So we have a hope that we have a God who is able, who is powerful enough and who will sustain us. Some of us might just want to sit with that hope today. But you have a God who is with you, and you can hope that he's going to sustain you, whatever life will bring. But we also have a hope of salvation. We have a hope of salvation. I think it's 14 and 15 says this. I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that there was one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, and he will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All of this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Basically, it's saying, because you have believed in what Jesus has done for you, you're going to be saved. Now, a question, answer it carefully. Do I look saved? Rhetorical question. You don't have to answer it. I don't look saved at 6:30 in the morning, people. Didn't look saved this morning as I was dragging myself to drop my daughter off at 6:30 for a horse riding competition. Do I always feel saved? Do I always look saved? Do I always believe that God loves me enough to forgive my sin? No, I don't. No, I don't. But do I know in my head that I am saved? Yes, I do. Because I remember the day where 3 o'clock in the morning I sat and said, God save me. And I can see evidence all the way through my Christian walk where he has saved me again and again from situations, from things. And therefore, I know that he is going to save me, welcome me into his presence, his face-to-face presence at the end of the day. I know with all certainty that I am saved. I don't always look it. I don't always feel it. But I know with all certainty that I have been saved. That's how I live. That's enduring. That's a settled peace that I know that Jesus died for Claire and other names too. I know at the core of my very being. And therefore I can say I have the hope of salvation. I can't always see it in myself, but I know. I know. The third one is the hope of transformation. Again, am I as I want to be? No. Sadly, too stone, too heavy, all of that. However, am I being changed more and more into God's likeness? Yeah. Have we seen that in the interns this year? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All those yeses that they have made have been permission to God and saying, I'm hoping, God, you're going to change me to become more and more like you. I'm hoping. And so therefore, don't lose heart, it says. Though outwardly we are wasting away. That's nice, isn't it? Outwardly wasting away, this is what it looks like. Yet inwardly we are renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, remind yourself of that. This is a light and momentary trouble, everyone. Light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. God is at work in each of us, transforming us to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. I have the hope that he's going to make me more like Jesus every single day if I say yes. If I say yes. The good news is, though, we also have a hope for eternity. How long is eternity? Forever and ever and ever. I will sing of your love forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I will stop now. Eternity is a jolly long time. And what's interesting about the hope for eternity is we often talk about it, don't we, at funerals or when someone's nearing the end of life. But actually, that's not what this passage is talking about. It's saying even when you're 12 or 3, you should have a hope for eternity. Because actually, and this is really important for some of us, what you are in now as a jar of clay, a frail one, will not last forever. You won't be in this forever. There are seasons where life is particularly hard. Some of those feel like long seasons. Sometimes they're shorter. There are seasons that will come to an end. And our transformation that God is doing in us through those harder seasons is for the hope of eternity. Because I want to be more like Jesus when I meet him. I want to be more like Jesus when I meet him. And so we're all going to meet at the West Gate, aren't we? We've already decided that with Simon when he preached on heaven. And we're going to say, you look just like Jesus now, guys. That's the hope of eternity. But also the hope for eternity is for this season. If you're grieving, it's not going to last forever. If your body feels like it's failing, it's not going to last forever. If there's a situation that's causing you to feel hard-pressed, it's not going to last forever. That's the promise of God. That's the hope of eternity. And the final one's an interesting one. The hope in the unseen. I like things I can see. But God asks us to put hope in things that are unseen. We have a God who is at work whether we see it or not. We have a God who is working even when we feel he's not working. And so verse 18 ends by saying, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Wow. Some good hopes. Some certainty in a world that feels hard pressed from each side. I can feel the energy in the room. The energy in the room says, Claire, that's really nice. Really nice. Well done. Thank you. Lovely things to hear. Great. Don't feel like that. Don't feel like that at all, actually. I feel the hard pressed, but not the other bit about not being crushed. I'd like to feel hope filled, but I'm a bit more fingers crossed at the moment. I have some really good news for you. Remember, our talk is all about not striving. It's all about allowing God to fill us so we can overflow. Well, there is a great verse in Romans 15 that says, you do not need to strive for this kind of hopeful living. I am going to give it to you as a gift. I love gifts. I'm in. I need this gift. I need this gift today. This is what the verse says. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in. The good news of this moment is you don't have to strive to be more hopeful. You don't have to work at it. Tell yourself it. I'm going to live more hopeful today because Claire said so. It is a gift from God. Do you know what? We could stop right there, and we are going to stop in a minute, I promise. But the band are going to come, and we're going to ask for this gift, right? So what I want us to do, just as these guys prepare for a song, is maybe you want to close your eyes, maybe you want to just look at the ceiling or whatever helps you to not focus on your neighbour. And perhaps identify an area, a circumstance, or something that feels pretty hopeless to you. If you can't think of something personal, then think about a situation in the world that looks pretty hopeless. There's many of them. And maybe you want to think about what I've just said about hope. Do you need today the gift that says, I need a hope that God's going to sustain me through this time? Perhaps you need that hope of salvation put back in your life again. Perhaps you're inviting the hope of transformation back into you. Perhaps you want to glimpse the hope of eternity. It's not always going to be like this. Perhaps you need the gift of hope in the unseen places. And as you think about that area, that situation, which hope do you need to invite God to give you today? For me this week, I need to know the hope of a God that sustains me. What is it for you? Abby's going to just sing the first verse and chorus of this song as we allow God to begin to give us a gift of hope. It's a supernatural thing by his Holy Spirit. We can't make it happen. But Lord, as we rest in your presence, as we hear your words again through this song, I ask for that gift that only you can give, the gift of hope. Let's say yes to the Holy Spirit giving us gifts today. And just help us unwrap the gift of hope that you give to each of us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. I've got one more point. It is one more. It's a lot shorter. Maybe. It is shorter. You see, it's good to have the overflowing in us. But as Chris reminded us so helpfully, we want to be like jugs. We want to be so full that this overflows. But where does it overflow? Well, it should overflow into your household. It should overflow into your street. It should overflow into your workplace. It should overflow into your street. Sorry, I said that one. Town. Let's go town. It should overflow wherever you put your feet. Now, this world really, 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 really needs some hope. Really needs some hope. And in fact, hopelessness is one of the biggest problems, I think, in our world today. It causes all kinds of people to go to very dark places. I think hopelessness amongst teenagers is on the rise horrendously. I think hopelessness about the future is really, 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 really prevalent. You only need to read the news, and it feels uncertain and unsettled. Our world needs hope. How's God going to bring it? Through his church. Who's his church? Oh, I'm looking at you. We need to have an overflowing of hope in our lives that goes to those who do not have the same reason to hope as we do. And so I've got one question. How can I give away hope this week? Wherever you're going to go, how can you be a person that overflows with hope? If we had a lot more time, I'd make you answer that question with your neighbour. But the good news is I'm going to make you do it over coffee instead. How can I give hope away this week? Giving away hope can be as simple as praying for someone to receive a gift of hope. It can be a smile. It can be being there for somebody who's going through a hard time who feels like a broken jar. It can be serving someone with a meal or a kind gesture or a hope needs to overflow. I think our words are really important in this because I listen to lots of people have a good moan. And sometimes a good moan is really good for the soul. So we need to keep moaning sometimes. But actually, my world has a lot of people who feel so hopeless that the only thing they can do is share how hopeless they feel. And I could be like that with them and say, yeah, it's rubbish, isn't it? It's bad, it's awful, yeah. I saw that on the news too. Yeah, it was awful, awful. Or I could say, do you know what? It's not always going to be like this. It's not always going to be like this. Or I could say, actually, yeah, I prayed about that today and God reminded me that he's in charge, he's got us. And it might look rubbish at the moment, but it's not always going to be like this. Or, yeah, I know you feel hopeless. Do you know, I'm going to pray for you that actually tomorrow feels a lighter day. Our words are really important as we go to give away hope this week. So let's just have 30 seconds on our own. Is there somebody that God's reminding you about who might need some hope, a dash of hope? Lord, speak to us. Is there someone or situation that I could bring hope to? Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. May that be our story this week. Lord Jesus, that as we receive your hope, your comfort, your certainty in your promises, May we go as people of hope to the places and situations and to the people that need hope most. And so I pray for myself, my neighbour, my family, my friends. May I be a beacon of hope to them this week. In Jesus' name. Amen.